Yeah, we aren't done talking about glory. We can keep talking about the glory of God. And so all I'm here to tell you, though, is from what you hear, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. God's glory, it fills the earth. His goodness, His magnificence, His greatness. The whole earth is full of His glory. It's all around us. It's everywhere to be seen. Seen for us as a reminder of His greatness, His presence, and His power. Power. God created the earth and everything in it, and He sustains it. He's what makes the world go round. And once He put it into motion, it's never stopped. Our planet is 4.543 billion years old, plus or minus 50 million years. Scientists have scourged the earth searching for the oldest rocks to radiometrically date them. In northwestern Canada, they discovered rocks about 4.03 billion years old. Then in Australia, they discovered minerals about 4.3 billion years old. Scientists analyzed moon rocks that were collected during the moon landing, and even meteors that have crashed landed on the earth. Both of these minerals dated to between 4.4 and 4.5 billion years. I thought that to be quite interesting, especially since the earth created as we know it was done. Are you ready for this? October 23rd, 4004 BC. And that was a Sunday, by the way. Oh, yeah. So the first day of creation was that day. October 23rd. Earth just had a birthday. The recreated Earth. It's been there for over 4.0 billion years. That's a lot of time. But as we know it, its birth was then. How do I know that? James Usher. He lived from 1581 to 1656. He was the Archbishop of Armagh. And he was also the primate of Israel, which means he was the head of all the bishops over in Ireland. And he was also vice chancellor of Trinity College in Dublin. And he was highly regarded in his day as a churchman and a scholar. Of his many works, his treatise on chronology has proven the most durable. Based on an intricate correlation of Middle Eastern and Mediterranean histories and holy writings, it was incorporated into the authorized version of the Bible, the King James Bible, printed in 1701. Thus, came to be regarded with almost as much unquestioning reverence as the Bible itself. He spent a lot of time. What he did was he took the dates and births of all those. How old was Adam, how old was Eve, and everything else. And he just kept going and working out together. And there have been several others who have done it. And they all come out around the same thing. Around 4000 BC. But he specifically nailed it. And people have worked on trying to disprove it. And some brought question into it all the way into the 19th century. And then they started really trying to dig it. But they couldn't disprove it because he had so much documentation. He documented it. I thought that was cool. So God's creation, as we know it, is 6,024 years old. And it all belongs to him. It all is his. Because in Psalm 24, verse 1, in the International Children's Bible, by the way, the earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord. The world and all its peoples belong to him. When God created the world, he decided he was going to live in the midst of the beauty and the magnificence of what he created. Where his glory is, his presence is seen and felt. I turn to Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6. Look to verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one of them had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to the other, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. One seraphim said to the other, calling out, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I can just hear them echoing that back and forth. Well, seraphim, that is plural for seraph. Seraph in the Hebrew means to burn with fire. Fire is the symbol for purity. Seraphim are the angels who are closest to God. They are the highest ranking angels of God. They encircle his throne and emit an intense fiery light representing his love. Seraphim are called burning ones, and not even the other divine beings may look at them. There are only four of them. One was like a lion, one like an ox, and one a face like a man, and one an eagle. Each, though, having six wings, full of eyes. Remember, cherubim only had four wings. They were the next class down. But seraphim, two attributes of God awed them and overwhelmed them. And these are supernatural beings. His holiness and his omnipotence. One being the inner glory of God, the other being the outer glory. He is holy, holy, holy inwardly. That is perfectly, unspeakably, uncompromisingly holy. To say holy twice in Hebrew is to describe someone as most holy. To say the word holy three times intensifies the idea to the highest level. In other words, the holiness of God is indescribable. To be holy, though, means to be different, distant, transcendent. I said transcendent. Okay, transcendent. Existing apart from and not subject to the limitations of the material universe. He created it. Although the Lord is totally different from us. Remember, he is perfect. And in his mercy, he still reaches down to take care of you and me. So we are surrounded with His glory. We can expect the glory and experience it. The beauty of God's creation, no matter where we are. Whether it's the birth of a new grandson, or the spiritual peace that we experience while just out in nature. They are constant reminders of God's handiwork in our world. We go out and we just take it for granted. Stop sometime and just look up at the clouds. Look at the trees. Look at the beauty of the leaves changing. It's all part of His creation. All of it. Even when you look at those Porsches going down a road, they're God's creation.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially the Mustang I saw the other day. That year that someone in here really admires, I saw on the road. Yeah. The whole earth, though, is full of His glory. His outer glory. And to put it quite literally, the fullness of the universe, that is to say, all variety of suns and stars, of heaven and of earth, of the land and the sea. All that is His glory. His garment, that which He is made visible by. See, look for that for a moment. Turn to Psalm 113. Psalm 113. And we're going to look at verses 4 and 6. The Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold? You hear that? He humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth. Not only is God supreme over all nations, His glory cannot be contained in the universe. His glory is not only beyond the universe, it is beyond our mind's ability to fully comprehend and our words to fully describe. God, our Creator, humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the earth. Talking about the people. The people. God draws near to us. He reaches out to us. And when He does, I'm telling you, grab hold.
Yes, sir.
Grab hold, and He will pull you into Himself. And then, as the song says, just beheld. Just beheld.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to take a verse from that song. It says, if your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you'll know I always have and I always will. Sometimes we sing the songs, but listen to the words sometimes. Listen to the words sometimes. You'll know I always have and I always will love you. Psalm 8. Now turn to Psalm 8. Verse 1, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory in the heavens. The name of God and the glory of God are alternative ways of describing who He is. Take that, Lord, our Lord. Lord, the first word is the divine name of Yahweh, Jehovah. Lord, The second Hebrew word translated our Lord is Kyrios. Kyrios means, ready for this? The one in control. Lord, the one in control. How majestic is your name in all the earth. The one who's in control. See, God is the one who's in control. So it's going to get better. Going to get better. We need to realize that He is in control. I don't care what you hear on the news. Well, I'll start listening to some alternatives to the news. And you'll find people giving testimony that God's in control. He's got what's going on out there. And the more we rely on Him and the more we give it to Him and we pray for our leaders to make good, godly decisions for this nation, things will turn around.
Yes, they will.
What's it say? If my people will humble themselves and pray. And pray. We got to be praying. Prayer changes things. Well, jump down to verse 3 in Psalm 8. Verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. Let's think of that. Fingers. The moon and stars which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are so mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. To respect God's majesty, we must compare ourselves to His greatness. When we look at creation, we often feel small in comparison. And to feel small is a healthy way to get back to reality. But God does not want us to dwell on our smallness. Humbly means proper respect for God, not self-depreciation. When we look at the vast expanse of creation, we wonder how God could be concerned. Be concerned for people who constantly disappoint Him. Forgive me, Lord, because I fall in that category. But I know to repent quick. Yet God created us. He created us a little lower than the angels. It says so in His Word. And you believe His Word, don't you? So that next time you think you're where your worthiness of a person is, remember, God considers you highly, highly valuable. So we have great worth because we bear the tag of the Creator. See? Made in the image of God. That's your tag. You're made in God's image. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion," that's rule, "over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. Made in the image of God. Think about that when you look in the mirror. You're of great value to him. That's why there's no idols of God. He doesn't need them. He gave us his own image. Us. Us. And he crowned us with glory. That's greatness. Or, I like this one, royal power. Royal power? Hey, that must be you're a king's kid.
That's right.
Amen? That's where you would get your power, royal power from. From the one who is omnipotence, which means all powerful. He is all powerful. There is nothing more powerful. Nothing. And he gives us some of that power to use. He doesn't give us all power, but he supplies us with the royal power that we need to defeat the enemy while we're here on this earth. Because when we go to heaven, it's going to be a fun time of worship and praising him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. But it says also honor. That's mean he crowned us with high respect and great esteem. Said what? And he made us rulers over the works of his hands. I like this. And he put everything under our feet. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, the Holman Christian Standard Bible version, and he put everything under his feet. Let me say that so you understand it. And God put everything under Jesus' feet and appointed him as head over everything for the church. He is the head of the church. We are the church. We're the hands. We're the legs. We're the feet. We're the feet. Everything's under our feet. So why do we let the devil step on our toes? What are we supposed to do, brother? Put your foot on the head of the devil. Not what you sing in that song. That's how we became the ability to say that we are the ones who have power over the enemy. He has told us that Jesus is the head over everything for the church. And we are the church. We are God's image. And it is we who are in his likeness. This is why God values people so much. We are made to reflect his glory on this earth. Matthew chapter 5. Glory be to God. Okay. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Yeah. See, we don't have inherent light. Rather, we have reflective light. As we behold the glory of God, we reflect it. We reflect that glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image. To the same image of the Lord there. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. All of us, believers, behold the glory of the Lord and are transformed into the image of God. And Jesus is the image of God. As we behold the glory of God in the Word of God, the Spirit of God transforms us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. This description is sanctification. It's the gradual process of sanctification. That's what this is describing. And sanctification is the renewal of our fallen nature by the Holy Spirit received through faith in Jesus Christ, who by His blood brought the atonement that cleanses us from all sin, whereby we are not only delivered from the guilt of sin, but are washed from its pollution, saved from its power, and are entitled and enabled through grace to love God. The glory of God, as we know, looks for a dwelling place. Because the original house of the glory of God was the tabernacle, the temple. But under the new covenant, the Holy Spirit builds a temple in every believer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We are God's house. We're His temple. See, God used to abide in the temple in Jerusalem. And now He chooses to live in us. You know what I said? He chooses to live in us. Everything in life and everything we do has to deal with choices. And He chooses to live within us. So we should choose to live for Him. And it's so simple to do. It's a prayer. But it's sure, it's simplicity. It just seems to knock people off track. Can't be that easy. Well, it is. I told somebody last night, and we were having that discussion. I said, you know what? When I met up with Jesus, I smoked. I drank. I cussed. I told dirty jokes. I was a man headed to hell. But when I went to Jesus, I still had all those things. And I went to Jesus. He took the cigarettes away. He took them away. Yeah, I'd always tried to quit. Never worked. But this time, He took them away because He spoke to me. Took the desire for alcohol away. And I had so much alcohol at the house, I could have opened up and sold it. And I was going to give it away. And then I got convicted by the Holy Spirit as a young Christian. You can't do that. You're causing somebody else's sin. So I dumped it all down the drain. My wife sat there and said, she couldn't believe that. Half gallons of stuff going down the drain, which was not cheap. But I was able to do it. And there's a lady right there sitting there that will testify, no matter how much pain and agony I was through, when I got hurt, not one word came out of my mouth to defile my body. And it's God. It's God. God took somebody like me and cleaned me up. Cleaned me up. Because if I wasn't clean enough, I wouldn't be able to stand here. He would not permit it. That's the whole thing. God would not permit it. The glory be to God because of what he has accomplished in me and what he can accomplish in each and every one of you when you let him. That's what we got to do, though. We got to let him. Sometimes we don't want to let him do the things that he can do for us. We resist him. We fight him. And he says, why? Why? Well, if I do this, I won't have fun with that. Nah. You'll have more fun. Because I sit down and I look and I say, man, I wish I'd have found this out a long time ago. Satan doesn't want us to know that. He doesn't want us to let anybody else know that either. Because once we find it, it tastes so good. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips.
Thank you, Lord.
His forgiveness. See, it was all part of his plan, though. All part of his plan, and it was completed through his son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Through his shed blood, we have eternal life. And by his body, the brutal beating and wounds inflicted upon that body of his, we have been healed. Yeah. Have been healed. Yeah. You can look it up in 1 Peter 2:24. Have been healed. Yeah. Have been means that you are healed. Mm-hmm. When somebody says, yeah, but, don't know yeah, buts. Don't speak what somebody's tried to speak over to you in the medical profession. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. And when they get, once you go back, and then they come back and they got to change their what they originally told you and say this and that. But then they always leave it with that little, sometimes they want to leave it with the extra. And that's when you sit back and I, just like when we walked out from Teresa's appointment the other day, doctor said, okay, we signed up. We don't want to see you for 6 months for a checkup. They says, well, we'll keep an eye on this. I look right at the doctor, did I not, Trace? And I said, no, we're claiming Nahum 1:9. And this shall not come upon her a second time.
That's right.
That's what I told them. We got it. And they said, okay, they all smiled, didn't they? Nobody commented. Okay. But that's what we stood on when we walked out of there. Cancer free is my wife. It's just a name. Cystic fibrosis, just a name. But you have a greater name to stand on. That's the name of Jesus Christ. And when you stand on the name, there's power in the name. There's overcoming victory in the name. Overcomes any sickness, any disease. And it does. There's testimony after testimony in this house. I mean, Nikki, you had to have yours replaced, but the miracle and this, how it come about, is it's God.
Yeah.
But then there's another one that I know that he was prayed for on his birthday and accepted the Lord and said, and I asked him, I says, now that you know the Lord, I says, can I pray for your healing? He says, yeah. They told him, they had put him on hospice, said he was done. He said yes. Crying. Prayed for him. The next day, his liver started working.
Yeah.
Am I right, girls? Yeah. They were there and witnessed it. And it had nothing to do with me, but I was obedient because they called and said, can you come pray? I'm leaving Swickley Hospital with my wife. We prayed for somebody else. I went, I don't know. He knew me from back in the day. He didn't know the cleaned up version. So it's going through. So all I did was I prayed the whole way there. I prayed in the Holy Ghost. And when I got there, it was so awesome. And he got born again on his birthday. That was his birthday, which was awesome. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Wow. Mike, I don't want to keep you guys too forever. We got to get down to wind this down a little bit here, but because I could just go on, because I love being up here when God's sharing things with me, because I'm praying that it's He's given me that word to give you the encouragement. It's an encouraging word that we need. We need it all the time. We need it from everyone. And we don't want to hear people coming up and speaking doubt and unbelief and negative things to us. We want to be with people who are speaking positive and speaking, you know, good things over us. Our words are so powerful. You know, now it's one thing to have the glory, but it's another thing to know how to walk in it. You know, but the good news is, you have everything inside of you you need to do it with. It's called the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. If God does all things for our good, and He does, then demonstrating our trust in Him puts His nature and character on display. Puts it on display for others to see. You understand what I'm saying? We reflect who He is. Here are some ways you can put God's glory on display. And as I said, trusting in Him brings Him glory. Not you, brings Him glory by your simple trust. And brings Him glory because it's going to witness to others. In Romans 4, verse 20, Romans 4, verse 20, we're going to look here. This is the life of Abraham. And it provides, from what I see, is a very remarkable example of trust. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He didn't have the promise, yet he believed and trusted. What? And he gave the glory to God. He didn't even have it, and he was giving Him all the glory for it. Because guess what? He expected. He expected. Are you expecting? Are you expecting when you pray? You should. How about 2 Timothy chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, he recounts how the Lord took care of him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And He rescued me from certain death. Yes, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil attack. I like that. The Lord will deliver me from every attack. How about we can say that together? The Lord will deliver me from every evil attack and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Trusting God with all your heart declares His glory. In John 15:8, Jesus says, when you produce much fruit, you are My true disciples. This brings great glory to My Father. Living a life that adorns God's attributes puts His glory on display. When His communicable attributes are reflected in our lives, it is not only able to produce fruit, but it glorifies God. It glorifies God. How? Love. Love. Love for one another. John 13, verses 34 through 35. Jesus again speaking, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He's talking amongst the group. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's also talking to us, disciples, disciplined followers of the Lord. That talks to us as well. And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Everything, right. But if we do that amongst ourselves, His glory is going to shine and people are going to see that. They're going to see the glory of the Lord shining through that. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 4. And we're going to look here right now. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives? God forgives all your iniquities. Who heals? God heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. He's big on forgiveness. Mark 11, 25 and 26. Jesus again speaking. What can I say? Jesus talks a lot here about this forgiveness. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Is that hard to do? No. Well, how can I? Well, love forgives. Love forgets. Agape love is unconditional. It's unconditional. So you can give, you can forgive. Because, see, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. It's already there. Just tap into it. That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Our God is a forgiving God. When we forgive others, we are proclaiming His compassion and eagerness to forgive. It has been said that we are never more godlike than when we forgive. That is why the Lord Jesus places so much emphasis on forgiving others. Forgiving others puts the glory of God on display. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies me. Thanksgiving. Expressions of gratitude to God sets His glory on a pedestal. Thanksgiving directs our focus on the one who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. They all come from Him. All good and perfect gifts come from Him. First Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Here we are reminded of God's supreme orchestration of all of life for us, the believer. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. In everything, give thanks. In Romans 8:28, and God is there for us. Let me tell you. His glory is shining bright. So reflect that glory. Reflect that glory. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And there again, to those who love God. What's love got to do with it? Everything. To those who are the called according to His purpose. Thanksgiving acknowledges that and thereby reflects His glory. For us to go from glory to glory, to be ever increasing in glory, is to continually be changed into what we were created to be. It is to be conformed to His likeness, increasing in His character and His nature, the nature of our God. Wherever we are, whoever we are with, we are to display God's glory. Yes, we are to display the glory of God that is in us. Because people are watching and they are listening. And when you reflect God's glory, that brings glory to Him. And things will change. Things will change. Not only for you, but for those who see the glory of God in you. Let them see the glory of God in you no matter what your situation is, no matter what your situation is. Amen? So I just encourage you, let your light so brightly shine. It's there. All the examples there. In your thanksgiving, in your forgiveness, trusting Him. People look at you. Are you trusting God? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You got a perfect 10, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Lives across the street from you, don't you? You understand what I'm trying to say, folks? He'll give you the 10. Where's God on a scale of 1 to 10? Well, He's above the 10 for me. I know what He's done in my life. And I know what He's done in a lot of your lives, too. Praise God. So right now, we're going to take communion. So...